Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, a powerful antidote and elixir for the toxins of right-wing talk radio. Your humble host is on vacation. You can call in on our regular toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B. So pick up the phone and show some love from the left coast for the man from bradblog.com, Brad Friedman.
You're going to love this. Just love it.
In the middle with you once again, live from Los Angeles, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, sitting in for the good Peter B. Stuck in the middle and no place I would rather be here on the Peter B. Collins Show. As Peter enjoys himself, I put enjoy in quotations because he's in Ohio all week. He gave me the day off yesterday as he broadcast live from Cincinnati. We're back at back in L.A. at the KTLK AM 1150 studios here in the heart of lovely Burbank. Broadcasting live for the next 3 hours, a big, big show, including, coming up shortly, Faz Shakir from Think Progress, regular Thursday guest, military affairs correspondent Scott Dick is going to be with us. We're going to have, of course, a Green News report from Desi Doyen, daily voting news from John Gideon, and we're going to be joined by Betsy De La Vega, Elizabeth De La Vega, former assistant U.S. attorney. She's going to talk about this habeas corpus decision in the Supreme Court today. Going to talk about impeachment, which I think she'll have a word or two to say. And this Senate report last week that nobody seems to think is important anymore, showing that George Bush, lied us into war. Pretty much the same case that Betsy De La Vega made in her book, U.S. v. Bush. Also, Ellen Tyson from Voters Unite is going to join us as well and talk about, what happened to my vote last week in Los Angeles when I tried to vote and four of my votes were flipped. But first up, Faz Shakir. Peter's regular Thursday night, where are we here? Thursday guest, Faz Shakir from thinkprogress.org and the Progress Report. How are you, Faz?
I'm fine, Brad. How are you doing?
I'm doing very, very nicely, and it's always great to talk to you. Hey, what's shaking at Think Progress this week, my friend?
Well, there's a lot shaking. Yeah, we're tracking the game very closely. We got the big Supreme Court decision today, and I think they intersect slightly, and we talk about that a little bit.
Sure. There's plenty to talk about on this issue as far as I'm concerned.
Right. So the Supreme Court, of course, has made a decision that, lo and behold, detainees at Guantanamo are afforded constitutional protections, particularly the right of habeas corpus, mm-hmm. Which is something that Senator McCain has quite a track record of opposing. You know, back in when the Supreme Court ruled on Rasul v. Bush in 2004, mm-hmm. that said that detainees have a right to habeas corpus, the Congress quickly went to work and said, no, they don't. Lindsey Graham offered an amendment that stripped habeas corpus in 2005 that passed ultimately in the Military Commissions Act. That was all done with the support of John McCain. Then, of course, when the Democrats took over in 2006 and tried to restore the right of habeas corpus, it was Republicans who stood in the way and obstructed, and John McCain was leading that charge as well. So at every step of the way, he's been opposed to habeas corpus, and so this ruling sets him quite firmly on the side opposed to the Constitution and against the Supreme Court decision.
And so he came out, John McCain actually came out previously and knew and spoke to this. I mean, did he actually speak to this and saying, yes, We know what we're doing. We are definitely removing habeas corpus in law for these foreign terrorists, whatever they're calling them now, enemy combatants.
He did, and he knew he's been against it at every step of the way. But there's an additional element to this, which is the kind of disingenuous nature of John McCain, which is that he has tried to make himself into a maverick by suggesting that when the military commissions was up for a vote, he fought on it on the issue of torture, which, you know, great, where we all applaud the fighting against the Bush administration's condoning of torture. I'm glad that John McCain, having been a recipient of it, fought alongside Democrats and said that that shouldn't be done for at least the military. He hasn't done the same for CIA contractors.
Right, exactly. His brave stance against torture. And then he says, oh, by the way, you can the CIA can do it. Just don't tell anybody about it.
So this part of McCain is that he wants everyone to focus on his stance against torture. He also wants everyone to know he closed Guantanamo. Great, we're all supportive. Or he wants to close Guantanamo. We're all supportive of those things. However, when you dig beneath the surface, you find that this guy is standing lockstep with President Bush against the rights of detainees at every step of the way, from the very beginning.
And this is what's interesting to me, because the issue, the torture issues, you can make an argument one way or another, and I realize I'm really giving them the benefit of the doubt here, but you can make an argument. But when it comes to habeas corpus, it's in the damn Constitution.
That's right.
I mean, it couldn't be clearer. Just to make sure everybody understands, can you define habeas corpus? I can ask Elizabeth De La Vega if you prefer. But basically, explain what it is.
Having gone to law school and not paid much attention, I could give you a boiled down version of it, which is essentially the right of somebody who's been convicted to challenge that conviction through the appellate process.
Right. And to be told what it is you're being charged for.
That's also a part of it, yeah. And being informed about the charges against you, exactly.
And I don't have my Constitution. Actually, I have it over in my bag. I should get it, because it's very specific what it says, that the right of habeas corpus shall not be removed, I think is the word they use. And yet you'll remember Gonzalez, when he was the Attorney General, actually went before. Do you remember this crazy argument that he made, Faz, about when he was testifying?
Yeah, he said that let me pull it up. The Constitution doesn't say every individual in the United States or every citizen is hereby granted or assured the right of habeas corpus. That was exactly what Alberto Gonzalez said at the time.
Right.
Which is, of course, contradicted by the Constitution itself, which guarantees actually that specific right of habeas corpus.
Right, but what they even more tortured explanation that he had for that was that when he was pushed on it was, well, it can't be removed. The Constitution says it can't be removed, but nobody says that they have it in the first place. Do you remember that?
Now that you're talking about it, I remember that.
Like, and he said, my God, did he really say that?
I also remember, you know, he was asked about it, and he said, you know, I haven't really thought about habeas corpus.
Well, why should he? He's only the Attorney General. He can't be bothered with, you know, this is all just remarkable, and we're going to talk about this. By the way, if you want to call in and chat, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, if you have any thoughts. You can also stop by, we've got an open thread at the top of Bradblog, bradblog.com. Stop on by, the top item, click comments, go in there, and be nice to Agent 99, because she's manning the gates. She has a temper. Anyway.
Hey, Brad, really quickly. Article 1, Section 9, Clause 2. The privilege of the right writ of habeas corpus shall not be suspended unless when in cases of rebellion or invasion of the public safety may require it.
So, and he went on to argue that, well, it's not being suspended because they didn't have that right in the first place.
Right, exactly.
Mind-blowing, and I got to tell you, Faz, you know, with the issue of impeachment of this week, Dennis Kucinich bringing 35 articles of impeachment, one of them was the fact that they removed habeas corpus. It's remarkable that you've got something so crystal clear in the Constitution. It is ignored. And then when somebody dares, you know, come to the floor of Congress to do their constitutional duty, in my opinion, and say, hey, it's a high crime and misdemeanor to suspend habeas corpus, nobody cares.
It would be one thing if it were just this issue, but of course we've seen it down the line, and of course that's why there are 35 articles that Dennis Kucinich has. One of them, of course, NSA wiretapping, which is also one of those programs that violates directly a constitutional provision. So, the other thing about the Kucinich thing is that it's quite popular, and people don't know that. You know, a lot of people think it's simply an issue that is relegated to the far left. But when you look at the polling on the question of impeachment, you find that it's getting near, the latest polls that we looked into, we're getting near 50%. We're getting very close to half the population is interested in at least considering that option.
Yeah, that's right. And I consider that to be the Democrats' part of this awesome failure all across the board. Going to take a quick break, but before we do it, let me point out here from the AFP reporting on the Supreme Court decision today to restore habeas corpus. There was a couple of paragraphs that caught my eye. One, Australian David Hicks is the only war on terror detainee to have been so far sentenced at Guantanamo after pleading guilty in a deal with U.S. authorities, which allowed him to serve out his 9-month term at home. So this is the dangerous type of criminals that we have, that they can serve out their term at home if they want. That was the deal they made. And then 2/3 of the 800 prisoners who have passed through its barbed wire gates have been freed without charge after several years in captivity. 2/3 of them. 4 detainees in the meantime have committed suicide. Hunger strikes are frequent, leading to force feeding of prisoners by their military guard. And remember, 2/3 of these people, we just let them go because apparently they didn't do anything. We're going to take a quick break. Come back more with Faz Shakir of ThinkProgress.org. Your calls, anything else that comes on up. Brad Friedman in for Peter B. Collins today. Please stay with us. Is a rockin'. But Nancy Pelosi, she ain't gonna come a knockin', or something like that. Speaking a little bit about habeas corpus, about impeachment, Dennis Kucinich, who has been joined by Robert Wexler and now Lynn Woolsey in support of impeachment. Speaking with Faz Shakir of ThinkProgress.org, Brad Friedman of BrandBlog.com, in for Peter B. So, Faz, before we went to the break, we were talking about impeachment being just about 50% in some polls. Why do you suppose there have been so few polls for so long on impeachment? Because I remember some years ago, one came out showing a huge, 34% wanted to impeach Bush, 51% wanted to impeach Cheney. Back in the Clinton era, there was one poll after another. Now, not so much. Why do you think that is?
Well, so first let me backtrack a little bit. So the American Research Group came out with a poll on July 6, 2007, and it said 54% of Americans wanted to impeach or begin impeachment proceedings against Cheney. 46% said Bush. That was in 2007. You go back to 2005, 2 years before that, 42% of voters said that if Bush hadn't been found to tell the truth about Iraq, that should be impeachment. Those numbers are stunning because when Clinton was impeached, there was only 41% of the American public supporting that. So
right.
These numbers suggest that there's more in favor of impeachment against Bush, which should be the case, right, since the crimes are far greater. Reason I think that we're against, at least particularly, we know why the Republicans are, so I don't know if we need to waste too much time thinking about them. On our side, why are there so many progressives or liberals not interested? And I think one is the sour taste left from Clinton, that was such a nasty and partisan witch hunt that we would never want to do something like that, you know, and I think that we're trapped in the mentality that never would we do something The other is, I think, generally that the timing of it and also the assessment of the politics of it. So one is we're almost at the end of the Bush presidency, and do we want to give Cheney an opportunity to run the country for the next few months?
Well, fair enough, although that's something that they've been saying since they came in 2006. Oh, we don't have time for impeachment.
Right. So the critical issue is how they assess the politics of it. And then there hasn't been a convincing argument apparently made to the leadership on the Hill that the politics of it are such that they won't be evicted out of office if they begin these kinds of proceedings. You know, and I've always found that the most powerful argument for doing it, for beginning impeachment proceedings, is that you would put on the record that these constitutional crimes, in many cases, that have been committed, torture, wiretapping, we talked about habeas corpus, the Iraq War, all these things, that there was, when the history looks back on the Bush presidency, Congress will have been on record.
That's right. And if you don't, I think the bar is forever lowered or raised, and I don't know how to look at it, as far as what is necessary to bring impeachment. I think at this point, we've never seen a criminal administration like this. I don't know what the hell you ever bring impeachment for in the future. And I should say, by the way, I need to disclose, I was asked by Kucinich's office to help on these articles of impeachment. I submitted material for several of them, Articles 28 and 29 concerning elections. So I want to be transparent there. But I think that if you don't, like you say, make a marker in history and say, no, this won't be tolerated, whether it's successful or not, you're opening the door forever to criminal behavior in an administration above and beyond even what we're seeing now, if that's
or
possible.
Even seeming complicity with it. I think, you know, that's one thing that they should be, if you're in the leadership of Congress, not wanting to ever associate yourself with any of the misdeeds that have been done by the Bush administration, make a clear marker that, hey, we were not a party and part of what was going on there, that we stood firmly against it. The other thing is, I mean, think of the history books. When you look back 100 years from now, kids will be reading in their history books about Bill Clinton, who did many wonderful things for this country and yet was impeached. President Bush, who did so many horrible things and so many unconstitutional things and skated scot-free.
Yeah, that's really what we're looking at. It's absolutely remarkable. Faz, I got to jump here, but real quickly, on this, you and I have talked, had occasional disagreements on the Sybelle Edmonds issue. Very quickly, I think the last time we talked was prior to the information coming out in the Times of London concerning this nuclear blackmail. Nuclear black market. Why do you suppose that one folks have been staying away from here in this country when Rupert Murdoch was more than happy to talk about it? And I've only got 15 seconds for you to answer that question.
I think
Sorry.
It's that people in Congress haven't taken it up. That's the easy answer, I think.
That the Congress has, okay, well, the clock lets you win that one, Faz. We'll bring it back up next time. Faz Shakir, thanks, my friend. Good talking to you, as always. Faz Shakir from Progress, thinkprogress.org and progressreport.org. Indispensable. Much more on all of this in the next hour. Give us a call, 888-5-PETER-B. I'd love to hear from you. Impeachment, habeas corpus, give us a shout.
Time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. While your humble host is on vacation, here's Brad Friedman from bradblog.com.
Goes out to Dennis Kucinich, burning down the house.
Wait till the party's over. Oh,
it also goes out to Agent 99. I think she might appreciate that. In the bradblog.com chat room, she's your lovely hostess there. She's going to be there all day. Stop by bradblog.com. Top item, hit comments, say your piece, or come and say them on the air. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Got time for the rest of this hour to hear your calls, your thoughts on impeachment, on habeas corpus being restored. Oh, man. It's a sad day when we got to turn to the Supreme Court, of all people. And, oh, please, can we have habeas corpus back? You remember that? It's Article 1. It's in there. A big, big blow, once again, to the Bush administration. And when it comes from the U.S. Supreme Court, especially this Supreme Court, especially Scalia, well, Bush is really off track. The U.S. Supreme Court Thursday ruled detainees held in the U.S. military base at Guantanamo Bay have the right to appeal to federal courts in a fresh blow to the Bush administration. The court, a fresh blow to the Bush administration. That's what it says. I'll leave my comments aside. Although we might have impeachment if there was. Anyway, the court ruled that prisoners in the U.S. jail in southern Cuba have the constitutional privilege of habeas corpus in the third ruling on Guantanamo against the current administration of President George W. Bush by a vote of 5-4. The court found that even if the base was officially on Cuban territory, it was, in fact, operating as if it were on American soil, and therefore the prisoners have the right under the Constitution to challenge their detention. Go figure. Now, as I say, this is the Bush Supreme Court. They have once again ruled against Bush. What does that tell you? Now, in truth, this is hanging by a thread because it was the usual suspects, the usual split with Justice Kennedy, the deciding vote here. And this is incredibly tenuous, and I hope you folks out there who still are Hillary Clinton supporters, who are threatening, as John Stewart said last night on The Daily Show, the blind spite vote, the Clinton folks who are thinking about voting for John McCain, we're in bad enough shape with this Supreme Court as it is. We are lucky to have gotten this ruling today. In fact, Scalia was against it. Some of his comments were rather remarkable. Anyway, we'll get your thoughts on that. I think, what did Scalia say? They will rue the day that they restored a habeas corpus. Rue the day that they restored the Constitution. That's the backwards world that we are now in. Speaking of that backwards world, and again, 888-5-PETER-B, if you'd like to sound off on any of this. Speaking of the backwards world that we're in, we were talking also about Denis Kucinich and his 35 articles of impeachment that are very popular if anybody bothers to take a poll. I had asked Faz Shakir in the last segment why he thinks that the polling organizations are not polling on this as much as they did during the Clinton era. And Faz pointed out how incredibly popular, frankly, that impeachment would be if anybody bothered to do anything about it, anybody other at this point than Denis Kucinich and Robert Wexler, who has now joined him, as has Lynn Woolsey, and I'll read her statement in a moment. But I will go ahead and answer that question, because I'm not sure if Faz has had time to answer it directly. The reason the media is not polling on this, and the groups out there are not polling on this, the media is not reporting on it, is because, by and large, the Democrats don't care about it. Now, in following what I do at bradblog.com most closely, which is our electoral system, for years, I have been speaking with corporate mainstream reporters at the New York Times and Washington Post and AP and everywhere else and saying, well, why aren't you people reporting on what's going on here? And I recall very well, right after the 04 election in particular, when there was so much to be investigated in Ohio. And instead of investigating, New York Times made a joke of it. And I recall speaking to the reporter there, Tom Zeller, Tom Zeller Jr., who I've gotten to know. I think he's a decent fellow. But at the time, he wrote about what happened in 04 as nothing more than, in Ohio, as nothing more than conspiracy theories and the crazy rantings of left-wing bloggers or some nonsense like that. And I said, well, look, I have a bunch of things here. I've got a list of things that are not conspiracy theories, Tom. Why don't you investigate them? Why don't you put America at ease and say there's nothing to worry about, that it's all just conspiracy theory and nonsense, and here we can prove it, because there's all of these uninvestigated things. He said to me, which is still amazing to me, that, well, the guy who had the most to lose in the election, John Kerry, he didn't challenge it. He didn't call for an investigation. He didn't care about it. So why should we? And I've had to tell this story time and again because I believe this underscores absolutely everything that is currently burning down this house and this country. And it is a fact that that election in 2004 was not John Kerry's. John Kerry did not have the most to lose or win in that election. We did. We, the people, did. These are our elections. These are our elections, not John Kerry's, not the Democratic Party's, not the Republican Party's, not nobody's, but ours. It's also our democracy. It's also our Constitution. And when that Constitution is violated, as George W. Bush has so handily done time and time again, 35 counts, read them. They're extraordinary. One count after another, as compiled by Dennis Kucinich. The answer here is that the media, they don't poll on this. They don't report it because the Democrats don't care about it. And if the Democrats don't care about it, if the Democrats don't talk about it, well, here's the bad news. That's who the media gets their marching orders from. Their assignment desk is apparently the Democrats or the Republicans or the White House. There is no more investigative journalism. There is no more enterprising reporters who are going out there and getting the story. The polling firms only poll on things that they believe folks in Congress care about, never mind the people. It's about what their politician buddies tell them that they should care about. Now, Dennis Kucinich, after the articles of impeachment that he read out loud for 5 hours, he had a statement yesterday vowing a new round of impeachment articles again if his current measure, which was sent to the Judiciary Committee, if that dies. This is at the public record today. Dennis Kucinich, the Ohio congressman and former 2008 Democratic presidential candidate, said he would continue to introduce resolutions calling for the removal of President George W. Bush from office if the articles of impeachment against Bush that he presented to the House on Monday are not taken up within 30 days. On Monday, Kucinich introduced the articles against Bush in the form of a privilege resolution, a procedural maneuver requiring Congress to take up the measure within 2 legislative days. Kucinich spent 4 hours reading 35 articles against Bush, accusing the commander-in-chief of a wide range of high crimes and misdemeanors, such as lying to Congress and the public to win support for the Iraq War. Wexler agreed to co-sponsor on Tuesday, writes the public record. Congress voted 251 to 166 Wednesday to send the articles of impeachment to a House Judiciary Committee for review, where it is expected to die. But Kucinich said if that happens, he will simply introduce another resolution until lawmakers vote on the measure. Leadership wants to bury it, said Kucinich, but this is one resolution that will be coming back from the dead. Kucinich told the Washington Post, 30 days from now, if there is no action, I will be bringing the resolution up again, and I won't be the only one reading it, Kucinich vowed. We'll come back, and many of us will be reading this on the House floor, and we'll come back with 60 articles, not 35. I believe he means it. And as I mentioned in the previous hour, I worked a bit on these articles of impeachment. I was asked by Kucinich to do so concerning elections, and I can tell you, yeah, he's got a lot more than 35 articles of impeachment. He can come back with 60. He did George W. Bush and Dick Cheney a favor by coming in with 35. So, we'll see what happens, and I suspect he'll be back in a month. Congressman Woolsey, the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus today, issued the following statement regarding the proposed privilege resolution on articles of impeachment against George W. Bush. She said, 5 years ago, President Bush undertook a deliberate and concerted campaign to send our name. In order to convince the Congress and the American public that Iraq represented a clear and present danger to our national security. A threat so grave, we were told, that continued diplomatic efforts would lead to mushroom clouds, says Lynn Woolsey in her statement. However, there was no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq and no terrorist connections between Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda. However, there is ample evidence to suggest that President Bush planned to invade Iraq long before Congress gave him the authorization to do so, that he undertook a campaign to manipulate the intelligence regarding Iraq's supposed weapons program. More than 4,000 brave men and women have paid for President Bush's mistake with their lives, and tens of thousands of others will forever bear the physical and mental wounds of war. As a co-equal branch, there's the key phrase, as a co-equal branch of government, the Congress owes it to each one of them, each one of the more than 4,000 brave men and women and their families, to hold those who led us to war under false pretenses accountable. Thank you, Lynn Woolsey, Democrat from California. Any other Democrats out there who want to take it up? Take a quick call. Billy Capitola, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, young man. How are you?
I am. Oh, I'm a little aggravated.
Well, let me ask you something. How does that?
Yes, sir.
Does it pay well working on the impeachment with the congressman? Does that pay well?
Does it pay? Oh, yeah. It pays as well as guest hosting.
Exactly. So let me thank you. You know, let me really thank you for the time and the effort that you've been doing in general for us. And just thanks a lot. Let me start there.
Thank you, Billy. I appreciate that very much.
Now, so the question becomes. See, as brave as Dennis is, he'll tell us, he'll get on the floor and he'll have these impeachment things. But you know what he won't do?
What's that?
He won't tell you why he can't get support from the Congress. That he won't speak to.
Would you like to speak to that, sir?
Well, the question I'm going to ask you, look, I can speak to it in a word, cowardice. You know, because it's great to have him to run against Bush, but mostly cowardice.
Yeah,
because literally, to me, it's fraud because, you know, the Constitution requires them not to count votes on eventual impeachment, but to, in fact, do oversight.
That's right.
And my question is, you don't need to have impeachment to be to start the investigations, right?
Well, you can have
be doing his job, Conyers, and a few other committees start looking into things that lead inevitably. You know, as soon as the first person
Billy, that's what we would have thought. That's what I thought John Conyers was going to be doing, and they have been. To their credit, they have been doing investigations, but they have not connected the dots. They haven't led.
They hit the wall of executive privilege where they call a witness, and the White House says, no, we're not letting him come. Guess what? At that point, someone's got to be arrested. And
you
I
bet.
Guess the problem, of course, is that when the judiciary is just some frog monkey. What do we need to do? Should we separate that? Do we have to make the Attorney General a separate party, or how do we fix it?
You know, I don't know what the solution is. I got to get to a break. Thanks for the call, Billy.
Thanks, buddy.
Keep up the good work. Keep making noise out there. We're going to take more of your calls after this on impeachment, on habeas corpus, on whatever the hell else is on your mind, on how angry I am today. One of those angry liberals. Liberal? The New York Times says, say I'm liberal. It must be. I think it's pretty damn conservative to say, let's follow the Constitution. Do your constitutional duty. Stop getting rid of habeas corpus. That's conservatism, brother. Brad Friedman in for PBC. Stick with us. Back on the Peter B. Collins Show, sitting in for PBC all week long. We'll be here today. We'll be here tomorrow. Coming up next hour, who do we got? Oh, the Green News. No, Scott Dick. Scott Dick, military affairs correspondent Scott Dick. And Desi Doyen with the Green News Report. You're on deck, baby. Get ready. Okay. Talking about impeachment, talking about habeas corpus, talking about the rule of law. You guys may remember that. Used to have it in this country. You conservatives out there, you may remember it. You used to give a damn about it. I still do. Taking your calls, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Also, keeping an eye on the chat room at bradblog.com. Glick asked about the blockbuster story that is promised to fired up Missouri concerning Governor Blunt in Missouri. He was running for re-election. Then suddenly he announced that he has solved everything. He's completed everything he came into office for, so he's decided against it. Well, let me tell you what. The guy is dirty. The guy is very crooked. He works with Thor Hearn, one of the worst GOP voter fraud snake oil salesmen in the country. And Fired Up Missouri is reporting CNN in Washington Post. Let's see here. Word buzzing around the D.C. media rumor mill is that national outlets CNN and Washington Post are currently working on a blockbuster story involving Missouri Governor Matt Blunt. I know the guys that Fired Up Missouri. I know who some of their sources are. They're good. They got the goods. We'll keep an eye on that. Let's get to your calls here. One, Jake, line one. Jake in Eureka. What's up, Jake? Welcome to PBC Show.
Hey, Brad. How's it going?
Oh, it's going all right.
Hey, you know, these people in Congress, if they had done their job and they had come, if they had come together last year to do what was right for the Constitution and the country at large and impeach Bush and Cheney, we wouldn't be in this position of having to, you know, discuss whether or not we're going to attack Iran before they leave office.
I know. And yet, one of the things that I can't remember who it was. I think it was Ralph Nader who talked about somebody had said to him, if I'm remembering it correctly, that one of the reasons they didn't want to impeach is because they were afraid if they did, then Bush would attack Iran.
Oh, God.
I mean, this is how they've got them wrapped around their – yeah.
Yeah, I agree totally. I mean, I think it's really an unfortunate circumstance of historical proportions that the Democrats fell down the job and went and cowered in the corner instead of doing what the people want, and that was removing Bush and Cheney. I think it would have been great politics to have impeached these people. They're so damn unpopular.
You bet. It's accountability. And remember, it's not just, you know, this issue about attacking Iran now. It's this issue of an executive feeling that they can do anything, anytime they want, and Congress will not do their job, will not hold them accountable, at least if Democrats have the majority in Congress. If Republicans have the majority, they'll do any damn thing they want with it. Frankly, even when they're in the minority, they'll do anything they want in it. Look at the Senate, where nothing gets done because the Republicans block it, and they block absolutely everything from happening in the Senate. And yet, back when the Democrats were in the minority in the Senate, they said, "Oh well, there's nothing we can do about this or that because we don't have the majority."
Yeah, then they got the majority, and they got the majority based on the promises of holding the Bush administration accountable and ending the war in Iraq, and they've done neither.
Yeah, they were kidding. They were just kidding.
Yeah, they were. It was just all rhetoric, unfortunately.
Thanks for the call, Jake.
Thanks, Brad.
All right, brother. Mike in Sacramento, what's on your mind, sir?
Hello, Mr. Friedman. How are you?
Oh, Mr. Friedman. I'm very, very nice. How are you, Mike?
Good. I had a pleasure of meeting with you briefly in Sacramento a few months back when Uncounted was premiered.
That's right. We were up there for a great screening, uncountedthemovie.com, if you want information. I'm in the movie, but it's still good. What's up, Mike? What's on your mind?
Well, I have a question, and I would like your feeling on this. Why aren't these mainstream candidates speaking more as a priority to voter fraud?
No.
You know, vote reform.
How about election fraud?
And election fraud.
Integrity, yeah.
And, you know, and some of the concepts that are needed in our system of elections to standardize the process.
Because the same reason they're not standing up for everything. They're scared that Fox News is going to call them conspiracy theorists. They're doing everything they do. The question, I think, the first one must go out, you know, what is Rush Limbaugh, Matt Drudge, and Fox News going to say about us if we do it? They're going to say nasty things about us. I'm not sure when they're going to figure it out, but Matt Drudge, Fox News, Rush Limbaugh are going to say nasty things about them anyway. And if they did something right, the people would rise up with them. They already have. They're screaming. They're begging for this. They're cowards. Sorry to say.
You know, my real concern is that virtually any level that's personal for me, state assembly, state senators, and so on, communities at local election processes, those politicians are not addressing these issues either. And the solution, in my mind, is that virtually no incumbent gets reelected, certainly not a Republican or a Democrat.
Well, here's the problem, and Mike, I got to get to a break, so thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Here's the problem. I think the Democrats have made a gamble. They made a gamble when they came in 2006 in January. They said, well, you know, we may be unpopular if we don't do this or if we don't do that, but what is our base going to do? Are they going to actually go and vote for Republicans? No way. Doubt it. So instead, what they said is, yeah, they may not like this idea. They may want us to bring impeachment, but that's going to, there's this imaginary center out there that they're trying to please. We don't want to bring impeachment because this imaginary center will be against us. And for the diehard Democrats, the progressives, the liberals, they may not like what we're going to do, but I dare you, go vote Republican. They know, and they're right. Who are you going to turn to? You going to start voting for John McCain? I don't think so. And I think that's the gamble that they're taking. Brad Friedman sitting in for Peter B. Collins all day, today, tomorrow. Coming back with Scott Dick on military affairs and whatever else you want to talk about.